And you're very welcome along to the Ella Magazine podcast. I'm Scott de Butler. Now, it probably comes as no surprise that we are talking about a very big and momentous occasion taking place only earlier, a few hours ago, in fact, over in the US. The US Supreme Court has removed the federal ban on marriage, also known as DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. To tell me a bit more about it and put it in a bit of a better context, I have Brian Sheehan, director of GLEN, the Gay and Lesbian Equality Network based in Dublin. Brian, you're very welcome along.
Thank you very much, Scott.
So without a doubt, it's very easy to say that it has been such an amazing day and an amazing event, not only for Americans, but I think for the LGBT community worldwide. Why?
You're right. This is one of those great historic days. I suppose it's historic for any number of reasons. It's one because after years of toil and struggle, the great barrier to equality for lesbian and gay couples through marriage in the States has been removed. And it's done in a really interesting way. It's done in a way that says, no, the Constitution of America should provide equally for all people. And that's what they've done. The Supreme Court, you know, which might be considered a conservative Supreme Court, have done it based on the rule of law. And it's a super kind of outcome. And it's brilliant because you're right. It's important for more than just lesbian and gay couples who want to be married or are married and don't have it recognized in a different state in the U.S. or have their federal rights ascribed to their marriage. But it's great because it's a momentum builder for equality, for marriage equality for lesbians and gay couples in Ireland and in very many other countries. In the same way that President Obama endorsing marriage gave a huge boost to campaigns for marriage throughout the Western world, at the very least, this again is another boost in that kind of momentum, that march towards progress in history.
I guess, you know, the fact that President Obama has been so vocal on this, you know, the fact that only shortly after the Supreme Court had made their decision, they got in touch with one of the couples behind the campaign in the States and actually personally congratulated them. So that shows, you know, just how involved that President Obama has been. But as, you know, this decision does not mean that you know, same-sex marriage is going to be instantly put in across all 50 states of the US. It is only, you know, legal in I think it's around 13 or 14, isn't it?
Yeah, 13 states.
13 states. But there's
definitely... Well, actually, 14, you're right, because California gets it back again. Does that make it? Yeah. The second ruling, Prop 8, makes it California, yeah.
And I guess we should probably talk about California in a minute. But it really does mean that for the rest of the states that are possibly going through the campaign or maybe relaunching the campaign, as we're seeing in Arizona, actually, at the moment, it basically means that they now have the green light to go.
There's a few things I think that are remarkable in the process, and you know, you can debate the strategies and tactics for getting there. But way back when a Hawaiian couple took a case to try in the early 90s to try and have be able to get a marriage in Hawaii, they weren't able to. President Clinton in 1996 brought in the Defense of Marriage Act, which meant basically, because America is a federation of states, it meant that and marriage is a preserver of the state, each state itself, and sets its own rules. But the federal government recognizes marriages across states, and the federal government has a load of rights that it holds, which it gives to marriage. Those are immigration, inheritance taxes, social welfare, Medicare, Medicaid, and a whole range of them. Actually, there's 1,138 federal rights that go with marriage that were denied lesbian and gay couples who could marry. So what happened subsequently then was 39 states or more came up with constitutional bars on marriage because the right thought, oh my God, the gays might get married, so they started campaigns. And then slowly that's being overturned, and we've talked about, we have 13 states now that have equal marriage for lesbian and gay couples and straight couples, but they didn't have those federal rights. And what it meant was that, for example, if you're an Irish citizen married to a U.S. citizen, your U.S. citizen, because that marriage would be recognized here as a civil partnership, your U.S. citizen could come, a husband or wife could come and live in Ireland, but you'd not be allowed to move to America because your marriage wouldn't be recognized by the federal government and you would be doomed and separated. So what you're right, what the Supreme Court decision did on today is said, sorry, that's not acceptable. The federal governments treat marriage exactly the same. However, there are still 38 or 39 states where the battle has to go on, where we have to win marriage state by state. I think, though, Scott, that the decision today, and I'm no lawyer, but the decision today might imply that there could be further cases that would force marriage to become US-wide if a good case comes up and says, why can you, under the federal constitution, be entitled to one version of equality in one part of the country and not in another. And that there'd be parallels there between cases around, say, interracial marriage and so on, which was allowed in some states and not allowed in others. So I think there's probably lawyers looking for cases already as we speak to try and tackle the broader ban in the rest of those states.
I guess on a international level, of course, you know, the US, because it is such a big superpower in a lot of different ways, you know, normally these type of social issues might not have an effect on the rest of the world, but definitely when it comes to LGBT rights, it really does. You know, everyone is really paying attention to what the US does, whether it's in New York or various different states or California, or as we've seen today, on a federal level. How will this decision have an effect on other countries that are possibly going through their own marriage equality campaigns, such as Ireland, for example?
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating thing. So the marriage in New York, which again, for example, didn't have the same rights and obligations as Irish civil partnership, but actually had the symbolic power of marriage, got more attention all over the world, or in the Western world, than, say, other avenues. France's marriage, the UK's marriage, won't have the same impetus or momentum building in other countries than America's decision today will have. I never know why. I think it's English-speaking, it's world power, it's dominant. I think what happens here is that it won't directly impact on the Irish government, but in the same way that Obama's endorsement of marriage helped to kind of build a political case, I think it will help that. I think what it does is help reassure people who are doubtful about it or who are evolving in their positions. It will help nudge them along the path so that they understand, oh, actually, okay, I get it. Marriage is happening around the world. The world isn't falling apart. All that happens when you allow lesbian and gay couples to get married is lesbian and gay couples get married. People are seeing that the scales are falling away. It doesn't seem as frightening when it has this kind of endorsement. And I think that hugely helps momentum, particularly in a country like Ireland, where it looks like we might have to have a referendum.
And
I think another piece just to add to that is, it's kind of, and I don't want to, it's not a spoiler, but sometimes the great progress in the West is kind of, there's a backlash. It doesn't happen in the West, it happens elsewhere. So, you know, it's we should also not forget, for example, that today in Lithuania, Baltic Pride, which is the three Baltic countries have a joined up pride every year, is that the Lithuanian government has banned the parade, or at least not given permission for the parade. And the St. Petersburg lesbian and gay group was fined again today because they're foreign agents or something like that. So that there's a polar opposite happening in different places, and backlashes that we used to feel in our own countries are not necessarily felt anymore because of enormous progress we've had, but they are being felt in other countries.
Yeah, just while you were talking about Baltic Pride, I randomly blurted out Latvia. What I was trying to make the point of is that Baltic Pride is supposed to cover Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, isn't it?
Estonia, yeah.
Right, okay, so I wasn't just saying Latvia randomly. That's a very, very good point to make. Just quickly to jump back, though, to, say, you know, the case in Ireland and also with the US, and to link, I guess, an event that Glenn was involved with only last night, which was to do with, you know, same-sex families or families headed by same-sex couples. You know, the whole theme of family and where does family and children's rights come into this. What's the situation then with the US in terms of families? Have rights in terms of, you know, family and adoption and parenting rights, has that been affected at all in the US, or do we still need to see some other developments come about?
That's a question, that's a $6 million one that'll take 2 hours to answer, so I won't. But actually, you're right. What's happened in the States is kind of interesting. States that have bans on marriage allow lesbian and gay couples adopt children. There's a different dynamic entirely in America, a separation out of families from marriage. That's just the way it has worked or evolved over there over time, and it works differently. So many of the children's issues and the family issues and the recognition and legal protection of lesbian and gay headed families is already well on the way. You know, many, 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 many thousands of lesbian and gay families are all over the states, in very many states. And I think there's only one state, and I think it's Florida, that actually bans lesbian and gay adoption, joint adoption by lesbian and gay couples.
Nice.
So the progress has been very different, and the trajectories have been very different. So this, in effect, I'm sure this will have some residual impact on families, obviously, but in fact, the main legal issues for our families are already addressed in the vast majority of states.
Okay.
A lawyer will ring in and tell you that's not quite true, but in general, that's the kind of approach.
Okay.
In an Irish context, it's very different. Families are a core part of marriage. The family is based on marriage in the Constitution and so on. And one of the critical omissions from civil partnership is that it didn't provide any recognition or support for lesbian and gay-headed families. So the event last night was about... say, okay, the government has recognised this, it's in the programme for government, let's have somebody from every political party come and talk about how we're going to implement this. And it's a fantastic thing that every political party was there, and every political party is saying, yes, we support it, and we're going to try and push it. The government minister for justice is preparing a bill. We would hope that once the EU presidency is out of the way, that would come forward. And this kind of relates to the American one. The Constitutional Convention last April voted overwhelmingly for marriage, but an increased number voted that the state should immediately support lesbian and gay-headed families. Even more, that was 81, even more than the 79 who voted for marriage itself. So there's a huge momentum building in Ireland for recognition and support of lesbian and gay-headed families, and I think last night's was evidence of that, but I think it's a really urgent one that we need to get done ASAP.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. You know, definitely the feeling of joy that everyone is feeling around the world because of the US Supreme Court that has just been fantastic, and we fully, fully applaud it, and we join in the celebration here. In the meantime, Brian Sheehan, Director of Glen Gay and Lesbian Equality Network, thank you so much for coming on to talk to us about it, and I hope to talk to you soon. Brian Sheehan speaking there, the director of GLEN, the Gay and Lesbian Equality Network. In other news, the Dublin Pride Festival kicked off to a very healthy start last Friday with the Dublin Pride 5K run in aid of Irish mental health charity Headstrong.
It's a wet and windy Friday evening down here in the Phoenix Park, and I'm here at the second annual Pride Run organised by the Dublin Frontrunners. All proceeds go to the Headstrong Youth Mental Health Charity, and I've been hearing from people on why they're here supporting the Pride Run.
Because we're proud of who we are, and we're here to enjoy it, and it's the second year running, and I missed it last year, so I heard there's great numbers out tonight, so yeah, just wanted to participate and meet loads of people.
No, I did it last year. It's a great event. It gets loads of support. I think the numbers are up from last year. So, you know, it's a great day. Play about the rain, but hopefully that'll clear up in the next half hour. But looking forward to it, and it's exciting.
So it's also for a great cause as well. So that's why we kind of do it as well. And to get us fit as well for the summertime.
One, because it's a nice run, it's a 5K run, so it's relatively manageable for anybody, even just fun runners. And then secondly, I suppose it's part of the Pride events, and it's as important that Pride is seen for everybody in that it's a wide range of activities.
Well, I'm hoping to beat my race time from last year. So last year I actually walked it. So this year I'm going to complete the whole thing running is my aim. So if you see me at the finish line, I've ran all 5 kilometres of it. I'll be delighted. So I will.
Well, I think we both have a friend in common who is involved with the Front Runners and does a lot of work with the Front Runners. And he was promoting the race. And last year we heard good reports about last year's race. So I missed it myself. So I wanted to do it this year. And it's showing solidarity with the Pride movement and the Pride Festival that's going on.
With over 400 runners participating in the Charity 5K, Headstrong, the National Centre for Youth Mental Health, was this year's chosen charity for all proceeds to go towards And now, let's hear a little more about what Headstrong is.
Hi, my name is Orla and I'm the Communications and Fundraising Officer in Headstrong. We are here to support the Pride Run, which is in its second year, which is very, very exciting. And for the second year, the Dublin Pride Run is supporting Headstrong and supporting youth mental health, which we're delighted about.
Can you tell me just a little bit about Headstrong for people who might know what it is?
Absolutely. So Headstrong is the National Centre of Youth Mental Health, and we are working to change how Ireland thinks about young people and their mental health. And the way we do that is we actually provide services, free, accessible, youth-friendly services and supports for young people aged 12 all the way up as far as 25.
And I suppose a lot of LGBT teens would struggle with their mental health, so it's really good to be down here.
Absolutely, yeah, and we know that ourselves from the research we did last year with My World, and we work a lot with Belong To. We know exactly that an awful lot of young LGBT people need extra support around their mental health, and we work very, very closely with the likes of Belong To make sure that we can reach those young people.
Over 400 people participated in the race, but it was Dublin man Gary O'Hanlon who won in a time of 15 minutes, and I caught up with Gary.
How's it feel to be the winner?
Delighted. Great atmosphere out here today. It's on my back home garden, as you could say. You know, I just live a mile from here, so it's great to come out here and win.
And what time did you finish the race in?
15 minutes, 30 seconds.
Hammer just finishing up here at the Pride Run for 2013 in Phoenix Park. A great turnout for a wet night, and hopefully the Pride events will continue for the week.
Well, that's about it for the Ella Magazine podcast this week. My thanks go to Sean Dunn and also to Brian Sheehan for taking part in tonight's episode. And of course, thank you to you for listening. If there's anything you'd like us to talk about on the Ella Magazine podcast, well, get in touch. Ella.ie is our website, or you can email us ellamagazine@outlook.com. And keep in mind, Ella is spelt E-I-L-E. I'm Scott Lebeau-Claire. Thank you very much for listening to this week's podcast, and speak to you soon.